Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23, verses 33 and 34, where we read, "And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments." This is our text. Brothers and sisters, welcome to Ash Wednesday. Welcome to the season of Lent. And welcome to the journey of our midweek services as we are guided to the cross of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. It is actually typical to call the 40-day season of Lent a journey. A journey with our Lord as he heads to the cross. As I said earlier, this year I will not be your only tour guide on this journey, but three other pastors will join me in guiding this trek to the tree where Jesus died. Tonight on Ash Wednesday, the first thing that we see is ashes placed on our foreheads in the shape of a cross. They remind us that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Why ash? Because since ancient times, people wore sackcloth and ashes when they were distressed, repentant, and grieving. All of which you and I do tonight as we ponder the depth of our sins. The fact that we have turned away from God to do our own thing, to follow evil or destructive or prideful paths. We mourn with St. Paul in Romans 7 that the bad things we don't want to do end up being the exact things that we do. This symbol of ash and dust points us all the way back to Adam, the first man, whom God made from the dust of the earth and breathed life into. Adam sinned, as we all have. And Adam died, as we all will, one day, to eventually be turned back into dust at the end of our time on earth. We are all human. We are all finite. We are of the earth, and we will go back to the earth. This fact cannot be avoided. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. It is God's will. There is no detour. So today, we remember that we are sinners and that we will die. Oh, sure, that's morbid. But what makes the difference, even on this sad and somber day, is the place where our journey is headed. The shape of the ashes on our forehead tells us, to the cross. You see, the sign of the cross points us in a new direction, a hopeful direction. Yes, we are sinners, and yes, we will die. But the cross of Christ is the only thing that is able to actually help us with those core problems that we all have. The cross promises a fresh start that puts that sin behind us and makes our death only a stepping stone into everlasting life. How does that happen? Through forgiveness. Forgiveness is the bedrock, the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's here in the season of Lent that we go to the cross again and again, confessing our sins and receiving forgiveness. Now, the skeptics out there, they are quick to ask us how we know this is true. Because Jesus told us so, directly from his own lips, while he hung there on the cross. He looked down upon those nailing him to the cross, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Your human nature and mine wants to lash out in anger at those who cause us harm. But Jesus, in his divinity, was actually removing the punishment that they deserved by doing away with their sins at that very moment. And we, like those who tortured Jesus, we do not know what we are doing either. We sin over and over again, when we should be loving and reaching out and caring for others. Yet Jesus' cross teaches us that he is not just forgiving a few people there on Good Friday. No, he was forgiving the whole world. By his sinless suffering and death, he was not just forgiving the sins happening right then, but the sins of all people who ever lived on earth and ever would live on earth. His forgiveness from the cross is that great, that all-encompassing, that universal, that complete. There is no one that Jesus does not desire to forgive when he goes to the cross. And why? It's all about his incomprehensible love. Today is Valentine's Day, the day that kind of guilts us all into making sure that we actually show our sweetheart or our family or our friends how much we love them. And if you forget, or you decide to rebel against the holiday and don't buy those flowers or chocolates or show your love in some way, well, I pity the fool who thinks that's going to go well. Yet our Old Testament reading, Psalm 103, tells us that when it comes to our Lord and God, His love for us is as high as the heavens are above the earth. And he does show us there that his love is absolutely connected to his act, his gift of forgiveness from all sin. Sometimes in time of conflict, we might be tempted to say or even think, "I love you, but I can't forgive you for what you did." Or the opposite. "I forgive you, but that doesn't mean I have to love you." God shows us in Jesus that either of those mindsets is actually a terrible perversion of both love and forgiveness. Just think of how Jesus both loves and forgives us. In spite of our repeated guilt and sin, more times than any of us can ever count, he still loves us enough to give his life in our place and forgive us fully of our sins, past, present, and the sins that he knows we are yet to commit. This is his true love, true forgiveness, and they both begin at the cross of Christ. In fact, they both must go together. It is only in Christ's love that every person, any person that kneels at the foot of the cross and confesses his or her sins in Jesus is forgiven. No questions asked. So it's both unconditional forgiveness and its incomprehensible love that pours over us from our Savior. And so, what difference does that make in your heart, in your thinking, in the way that you live your life right now? As those fully forgiven by Jesus, we should now live lives of forgiveness. That means that the principle of forgiveness should be at the core of every aspect of our lives, every day of our lives. Our instinct should not be anger, but forgiveness. Should not be mistrust, but forgiveness. Should not be revenge, but forgiveness. I know, that's not the way our world operates today. If someone does something wrong, immoral, or even evil, our world's instant response is to grind them into the dust, fire them, get even, banish them, cancel them, send them packing. And far too often, far too quickly, we Christians agree. But what the cross announces to us is that Jesus is the one who has already paid the price for every sin committed. Because of him, we are no longer subject to God's wrath against our sins. And that means that no one should be subject to our wrath whenever they come to us confessing their sins. When that happens, the first words out of our mouths must be the same as Jesus' words: I forgive you. In Christ, because the sin is no more, there is nowhere for our anger, our revenge, our ill will to go, but away into thin air, as far as the east is from the west, says Psalm 103, verse 12. But let's be honest, this concept of forgiveness can still be hard for us to get our earthly minds around, especially when we see sinful behavior again and again and again. And it seems it was hard for Jesus' disciples to comprehend too. We get a glimpse of their struggle when Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Peter felt like there had to be some kind of limit to that forgiveness. But Jesus shocked him and the rest of us by saying just the opposite. "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times," which was a clever way of saying there is no limit to the number of times we are to forgive someone else. In other words, forgiveness should always be in our hearts and on our lips. Jesus' cross shows us that forgiveness is never just some passing fancy or something we only do now and then and only toward those whom we love. No. Forgiveness from the cross is forever. In fact, it is something that is already accomplished, something that can never be taken away from us, something at the very core of every Christian's everyday life. Because even though Christ defeated sin on the cross, sin still exists in this world until Jesus returns on the last day and takes us to heaven where sin will be no more. So for now, the only way to combat sin is with Christ's forgiveness from his cross. It is his gift of forgiveness that sets us free from sin every day. Every time we confess our sins to God, trusting in Jesus as our Savior. Throughout Scripture, Jesus showed us that forgiveness is always the top priority. When the paralyzed man was lifted down into the house where Jesus was teaching, the first thing Jesus did was forgive the man's sins. Then, and only then, did he heal him of his paralysis. He let the woman caught in adultery just go without any physical punishment, except to just say, go and sin no more. Jesus taught that we are to show mercy to our fellow travelers on this road of life, just as God has shown us such great mercy by forgiving our many sins. Without hesitation, Jesus spent time with sinners and those considered to be outcasts by the religious snobs of the day. He said he came not for those who were well, but for those who were sick. Throughout his ministry, Jesus defaulted to helping those whom society considered to be sinful. And remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector that overcharged people for their taxes to the Roman government? When Jesus came into Zacchaeus' town, Jesus sought him out, asking to come to his home. And when Zacchaeus responded to Jesus' love and forgiveness by promising to pay back all that he had overcharged, Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Forgiveness. It is Jesus' central teaching and purpose. It is the primary teaching, the most essential part in all of Scripture. Jesus came to bring salvation to the least and the lost. And who are the least and the lost? Well, every one of us, of course. As Romans 3, verse 23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That means that all are in need of forgiveness. But knowing that Jesus is present in our lives and knowing that he went to the cross for us guides us to align our lives to the ministry values of Christ himself. It leads each one of us to ask, "Who are those I can forgive today, even those I'm not that eager to forgive?" Dear Christians, go to them this week and forgive them. And the second question is this: who are those I need to ask forgiveness from for something unchristian I did toward them? Again, don't put it off. Go to them this week. Confess your sin. Ask for forgiveness. You see, huge weights of guilt and shame can be lifted from our shoulders when we share and receive forgiveness. And Christians have used a variety of rituals or methods to help us see and remember the very real power of forgiveness in our lives. We, tonight, wrote our sins on those tags and nailed them to the cross to remind us that Jesus took our sins upon himself on the cross. Some people write their sins on small pieces of paper and then burn them or rip them up and throw them away. Others use various kinds of washing, which captures the cleansing effect of forgiveness. For it is in our baptism that we are cleansed of our sins in Christ each and every day, cleansed through his blood shed for us on the cross. Like dirt that falls from our bodies when we bathe, so the filth of our sin falls away from us when we are drenched in the message of salvation in Christ crucified. In fact, by Jesus' death, we now wear the robe of his righteousness placed upon us at our baptism. Death no longer frightens us. The end of this earthly life now serves only as the doorway to a life that will be renewed and restored by Jesus. For those who are forgiven in Jesus, there is no fear in death, no dread in looking to the cross where Jesus died. No, we look death in the face, and we say with St. Paul, "Where is your sting, O death?" We turn our eyes directly to the cross, and we sing, "In the cross of Christ I glory." This year in Lent, dear people, let us then be guided to the cross. Be guided to Jesus. Be guided to forgiveness. He is the one who guides you and me to salvation in a Savior who never gives up, never turns away from you, never, ever stops loving you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guide your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus, tonight and forevermore. Amen.